Well, welcome everybody. It's great to see you here today. Wasn't that just a wonderful, wonderful celebration we had last week? Wasn't that amazing? Absolutely. And some of you I know are still waiting on your tacos. I know that. All right. Well, hey, God gave us a wonderful day, and we had many wonderful guests that joined us for that celebration. We actually have some more guests with us today. Hey, Tommy and Shiny, would you guys come up here real quick? Would you give them a big New Life welcome as they come up here? This is Tommy and Shiny, and they work with Mid-India Christian Mission. Come on over here, you guys. We'll be in the middle for the camera. But they work with Mid-India Christian Mission, which is one of our ministry partners. And we've shown Mid-India Christian Mission videos here, just like we showed that Samaritan Purse one. And you might recognize Tommy. He's the one in the I don't know if you knew this or not, but you're in every video we show to the whole church. But Shiny was here as one of our featured speakers for the women's conference this weekend. And so, yeah. So I wanted to make sure you guys knew they were here. They would love to talk to you about Mid-India Christian Mission and all that's happening there. So I just wanted to make sure you knew they were here, and I want to pray for you guys, if that'd be okay. Lord, I just give you thanks for Mid-India Christian Mission. I thank you for the work that's happening there, and I thank you for Tommy and Shiny. I thank you, Lord, for how they serve you and how they just let the Spirit lead their lives and to be available to you, God, in wherever and whatever you have them to do. And we're so grateful, Lord, they could be with us here this weekend, and that you could speak through Shiny this weekend to teach many of our ladies here at the church, and we just give you praise for that. Lord, I continue to pray you bless them and bless their family and their ministry, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you guys for being here today. Well, we are continuing our series that we've been in for the last few weeks, where we're focusing on disciple making, and it's been a couple of weeks since we've talked about this with our celebration last week and everything, and so I just kind of wanted to refresh your memory just briefly about what this is all about. We are talking about disciple making and what it means to be a disciple, and we spent some time when we first started this series in the Old Testament, and we saw how disciple making, even way back in the Old Testament, has always been on God's heart. If you might remember in Deuteronomy 6, where it starts with the family, teaching your children about the Lord and to love God and obey. And then when we moved into the New Testament, we see this in the life of Jesus. And we just tried to paint this picture I did of how disciple making has always been on God's heart. It's always been something that was intentional and relational and transformational. So from that, we get this framework and we start to form a definition for what disciple making is. So what is disciple making? It is this. It is entering into relationships to intentionally help people follow Jesus, be changed by Jesus, and join the mission of Jesus. This right here is the core mission of the church. It's really what it's all about here at the church. So when Jesus said, go and make disciples in Matthew chapter 28, what did he tell them? He said, you go make disciples and you baptize people and you teach them. This wasn't just some transaction. Jesus wasn't talking about, go out there and you tell people about me so that they can say a certain prayer, recite something, check a box, or join a church. That is not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was talking about helping people come to him for both salvation and transformation. And that transformation comes through what? But through obeying the teachings of Jesus. So he said, teach them to obey, not just share some cool stuff about me. No, he said, you teach them to obey everything that I have taught you and commanded you. So we learn from that Jesus' teachings form the curriculum for disciple making. And Jesus' life, we look to that as a model, an example of what it means to be a disciple. And as we continue to unpack this, what does it mean to be a disciple maker? What does it mean to be a disciple? We look even deeper at that one time that Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee and he saw these fishermen, Peter and Andrew, James and John, and he called them to be a disciple. Do you remember the exact words Jesus used in Mark 1:17? He said, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. This one verse contains basically the three elements of what it means to be a disciple. Let's break it down real quick, because I just want this back in the forefront of your mind here and keep it fresh. He said, follow me. That was the call to these disciples. Come follow me. Walk with me. Let me lead you where we're going. There is a decision that every single person must make. And it's a decision that basically goes like this. I'm going with Jesus. If I could just put it in simple terms, I'm with that guy. And I'm going with him, and I'm going to follow him. So when he says, come follow me, I'm going with the guy who lived on this earth, who was nailed to a cross, who was buried in a tomb, and 3 days later, rose to life. That's the guy that I am going with. So it's a pathway that we follow. And I want to break this down a little bit, articulate a little bit more. When we follow Jesus and we identify with him, say, I believe, what is exactly that we are identifying with? We are identifying with the path that Jesus walked. Jesus lived, he went to the cross where he died, he was put in a tomb for 3 days, and he came to life. And the Bible talks about following in the footsteps of Jesus. The footsteps are to follow him in his life, death, burial, and resurrection. That is what you're saying when you're saying, I'm following him. So when Jesus said, go make disciples, and you baptize them. Somebody gets baptized is because they are identifying with that very walk of Jesus. He lived, died, and he rose again. And I'm gonna be baptized into that motion, if you will. Think about it like this. We just watched the baptism. They went down into the water, and the water symbolizes your grave. You go down the water, and it's like you saying this. I'm gonna follow Jesus in his death. I'm going to be buried with Christ. So when you go under the water, you're symbolizing, I'm dying to my old self. And when you come up out of that water, you're saying, I'm going to unite with Christ in his resurrection. I'm going to be raised with him to walk a brand new life. So Jesus says, you go teach people, but first you baptize them. This is what part of being a disciple is. They unite with this path to life, death, the resurrection of Jesus. And I've said this many times, I'll say it again, that many times we've gotten this wrong. We sometimes think that getting baptized is the finish line. And I'm here to tell you, getting baptized is the starting line. It's the start of your journey. Because if baptism is the finish line, then what we have done is created a transaction. I did my part, God did his part. I'm gonna sit in the pew and watch the show till Jesus comes back or I die. Baptism is the starting line. So he said, follow me. Death, burial, resurrection, baptized. And then he says, and I will make you become. From the moment you choose to follow Jesus, okay, you cross that starting line and it's go time, you begin this core transformation. Something changes inside of you, and this walk, it is just different from that point on. You learn and you obey the teachings of Jesus as you grow in this walk. So Jesus said what? You teach them to obey. I identify with him. And I'm going to obey the teachings of Jesus and core transformation. I will make you become. And where does it all end up at? He said what to his disciples? I will make you become what? Fishers of men. So you have Peter and Andrew, James and John, who joined Jesus and they walked with Jesus. They were being transformed by that journey. And they would eventually latch on to the very thing that Jesus was all about, seeking and saving the lost, becoming a fisher of men. And we too are just like that. We join the mission of Jesus. So, if disciple making is this, if it's entering into relationships to intentionally help people follow Jesus, be changed by Jesus, and join the mission of Jesus, then what is a disciple? Well, a disciple is this. A disciple is someone who is following Jesus, who is being changed by Jesus, and who is committed to the mission of Jesus. And all of these disciples, whether all these disciples find themselves in the United States and in China or in India or wherever in the world, collectively, the people who have followed Jesus, being changed by Jesus and joined his mission, collectively become the church, the body of Christ that is represented all around the world. And this body of Christ, the church, this collection of disciples everywhere in the world has one core mission that they are on, and that core mission is to make more disciples. Can I ask you a question? Why is disciple making the core mission of the church? Why is disciple making the core mission of the church? Well, I'm going to drop a simple definition on you because that's what this series has been about. Let me help you define things and understand it. Why is it important that, or why is it a core to the mission of the church? This is the answer. It's because the church is God's plan to help everyone come to faith in Jesus and to become more like Jesus to the glory of the Father and the power of the Spirit. This is God's idea. This isn't a man-made idea. We're not smart enough to come up with something like this. This is God's plan, the church, to help everyone come to faith in Jesus and become more like Jesus. So if you were to start asking this question, hey, what does the church do? So like what I mean is like if you were to go out to 100 churches in Northwest Arkansas and you were just to start to talking to people that show up to church on Sunday and you ask them, hey, what is it that the church does? You're going to start hearing things like this. You're going to hear things like this. Well, the church worships. We fellowship. We involve ourselves with ministry. We serve those in need and so forth. You're going to hear things like that. And I think all of us would agree, those are all crucial tasks of the church. Wouldn't you agree with that? Worshiping, serving, all crucial to the task of the church. But I believe that worship, fellowship, ministry, missions, serving those in need, so forth, all of that is really an expression, or they are expressions of one core mission that undergirds all of it. The underlying core mission of the church is disciple making. And I will illustrate it this way. I know here in Bella Vista, in Northwest Arkansas, we got a lot of golfers. Anybody like to golf? Yeah, I know. The golfing is huge around. You don't have to drive very far without coming across a golf course. So I don't think you have to think too hard when I ask this question. What is the purpose of golf? Now, a lot of you wives are going, I've been trying to figure that out for a long time. I don't know what, no. But in all seriousness, think about the game. Let's talk about the game. What is the purpose of golf? The purpose of golf, when you break it down, what it's all about is to get a ball about this big into a hole about this big. That is the whole purpose. And you keep score by trying to be the one that does it in the fewest tries. I never understood a game where you pay so much to swing the ball and the club so few times. I tell people when I golf, I'm just getting my money's worth, all right? I'm hitting the ball as many times as I can. But you break it down, right? The whole goal, get the ball in the hole in the fewest swings possible. I tell you that because I also want to tell you this. The golf clubs are not the ultimate purpose of golf. But what are they? Golf clubs actually help golfers get the ball in the hole with the fewest strokes possible. Similarly, the goal of disciple making is to help disciples imitate Jesus. To follow Jesus, be changed by Jesus, and join the mission of Jesus. That's ultimately where we want people to get to. And the activities of the church, like worship and fellowship and ministry and missions and serving those in needs, what are all of that? In a sense, they are tools that disciples use to realize the goal of becoming more like Jesus and helping others do the same. So when you think about what we do here at New Life, everything from worship to life groups, to ministry, to students and kids and families, other targeted ministries like Primetimers and men's ministry and women's ministry and our fellowships that we do and all the support we give towards missions and locally here and around the world and the Bible studies that we host in this building and outside of this building, our homes, even our celebrations like the one last week. All of that to collectively serves an underlining core mission of the church, which is disciple making. All of those things serve the one core mission. Everything we do is like golf clubs in a golfer's bag. Golf clubs serve the mission of getting the ball in the hole. And all the things that we do that are crucial to the life of the church serve one underlying mission of making disciples. So, disciple making, not to be redundant, just to be clear, it includes bringing people to Jesus for both salvation and transformation. Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. Maybe stated differently, I would say it like this. God wants every single person on planet Earth to be saved by Jesus and to become more like Jesus. And friends, as a church, that right there is what it's all about. So as more and more people are being saved and they are growing into Christ's likeness, this is the effort that we pursue. If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Colossians. We're going to spend a few moments together today in that New Testament book. And while you're finding that, let me tell you, first of all, a little bit about Colossians. This will help you make sense. That the book of Colossians, or really more technically, the letter of Colossians, was written by the Apostle Paul. And he wrote this to the Christians who were living in the town of Colossae. And Paul wrote this letter while he was in prison. And so while he was in prison, some people came to visit him and said, "You're not going to believe what's happening in the town of Colossae." And Paul couldn't believe it when he heard the word, and so he wrote them a letter. What Paul was hearing was all about heresy and false teaching that had come into the church, and it was throwing people into confusion. So the whole letter of Colossians is about setting the record straight and clearing up what was being taught incorrectly. Now, we're not going to read the whole letter today, obviously. I encourage you to do so on your own. It's very practical, a lot of application to life. But what I want to do is focus on a part of what Paul said that he wrote, because what he does is he helps us understand that growing and maturing into Christ's likeness is the end goal of disciple making. So you come to know Jesus, you're part of the church, you're to grow into the image of Christ as a disciple. That's part of this journey. And Paul speaks to that. So have you found Colossians chapter 1? Let's read a few verses together. Let's start in verse 9. Listen to this. Paul writes, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." And we're going to stop right there. We're going to read a little bit more, but we're going to stop right there. In these few verses, and I hope you saw this when we read it, is that Paul is referring to knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And he says, like, knowledge and wisdom and understanding, they pave the way to living a life that is worthy of the Lord, and it makes it possible for you to please him in every way. So there's something about growing into Christ's likeness, becoming the kind of disciple we are called to be, that involves knowledge, and it involves wisdom, and it involves understanding. I've said this many times, I'll say it again today, that nobody accidentally becomes a mature follower of Jesus. It just doesn't happen. It takes great intentionality. Nobody stumbles into Christ's likeness. It just doesn't happen that way. No, it takes intentionality to grow in knowledge. And where does knowledge come from? It comes from God's word. It comes from learning the teachings of Jesus and obeying that. That's where wisdom comes in. This is where these things come. Wisdom and understanding is what the Holy Spirit helps us as we trust and follow Jesus and obey his words. Nobody becomes a fully devoted follower by accident. So Paul's talking about these kinds of things, that the life that is worthy of the Lord involves growing in our knowledge of him and bearing fruit in all the things that we do, being strengthened with power, he writes, so that we have endurance to go the distance with patience and joy. And he's just writing about what he hopes these Christians will become, that this all goes somewhere, that this is not just sit and watch. This is an active faith. And I point that to you today for the same reason that Paul wrote about it in his letter, that if you're going to follow Jesus, you are committing your life to growth and the pursuit of becoming more and more like Jesus. And I don't know if this is taught this strongly in a lot of churches. What are you committing yourself to when you say, "I'm going with that guy"? You are committing yourself to something greater than church attendance, greater than a lot of things that sometimes we associate with church. No, you are committing yourself to a life of growth and to a pursuit of becoming more and more and more like Jesus. That is the core transformation that we are talking about. Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. It's core transformation. Now, a few verses later, Paul speaks about how fortunate he is to be in the position that he is, and how God had commissioned him to preach the word of God in all of its fullness, and the reality that he speaks about in the verses that follow. We're not going to read them right now, but he talks about this mystery that used to be veiled, but now it is known. And this mystery that he's talking about is the fact that the gospel is for everybody, not just for the Jews, it's for the Gentiles as well. And he speaks about it like this mystery that has become known, and he is sharing this. If you jump down to verse 27, Paul writes this: "To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery." In other words, everybody can be saved. And then he says this, pay very close attention: "Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now, this is a powerful thing that Paul is saying to these Christians. Christ in you. Not just to sit there and do nothing, but Christ in you for a reason. It's why transformation is even possible in somebody's life, is because Christ is in you. Now, the very next verse, he says this: "He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me." Paul's goal, as you read the rest of this letter, is not just to proclaim the teachings about Jesus. It's not, let me share with you some neat things that Jesus did. His goal, and he says, "I'm giving every ounce of every bit of energy that I have to it," is to do this. It is to present everyone in the church as fully mature in Christ. And this goal was fully formed. This goal is fully formed disciples. Do you kind of understand? I'm trying to just pull out of here so you understand what he's trying to say. I'm not here just saying words. I'm here to present you, the church, as fully mature believers in Jesus. And we talk about disciple making and bringing people to Jesus for salvation, where they're experiencing core transformation. The whole point of that is to help Christians become more Christ-like in every day of their lives. That is the goal. Now, as you read the New Testament, and you read it the whole way through, it paints this picture repeatedly that growth means fundamentally focused on being formed into the image of Jesus. Paul said this in another letter to the churches of Galatia, Galatians 2:20. He said, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." I hope you hear in what he's writing the transformation that he is going through. He's not the same guy that he used to be. Christ now lives in him. That changes everything. So he's saying, the life that I live by faith in the Lord, it's totally different now. Let me share a few more passages from the New Testament to kind of help build this picture of disciple making and how we are foundationally meant to become more like Jesus as we grow and are transformed. 2 Corinthians 3:3 says, "You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." I mean, there's a lot to that, but it's like there's something growing inside of you. There's a story being written that's being written on your hearts. You're not the same person. You're growing into something else. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." One more, Galatians 4:19. My dear children, for whom I'm again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. So friends, the heart of being a disciple boils down to this one thing. God wants everybody to come to salvation in Jesus and then become more like Jesus to the glory of the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to write this down and try to remember it, okay? The goal of disciple making is to help disciples imitate Jesus. The goal of disciple making is to help disciples imitate Jesus. I hope and pray that there is a shared story, a common denominator among everybody who calls New Life their home. And that would be, the common denominator would be this in your stories, that your time with New Life, whether that be a short season or a season that lasts for decades, that your time with New Life is marked by personal growth in the Lord. I would hope and pray that every single one of you can say that my time here, I grew in the Lord. I grew more and more into Christ's likeness among this church family. That you could say things like this: I am more like Jesus today than I have ever been before. I would pray that'd be a common thread throughout our church family. It's like each of us saying, I want to think like Jesus and see the world like Jesus and respond to every situation like Jesus. This is all part of having the mindset of Jesus, that as we are growing more and more like him. You know, I think if you look at everything that was written in the New Testament, I think you'll see that it was written to help people follow Jesus, be changed by Jesus, and join the mission of Jesus. I think everything leads to helping people do that. And the New Testament, I mean, ultimately, it guides a person's mind to be like Christ. You think all the teaching in the New Testament is to help you share the mind of Christ and be like him. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So a disciple of Jesus is somebody who has this mind of Christ. They're going to grow into that. They're going to start to see the world like Jesus sees the world. It impacts everything. So we ask the question, how do we love people? Well, we love people like Jesus loved people. That's having the mind of Christ. You know, how do we worship God? Well, we worship God in the way of Jesus. That's how we do it. How do husbands treat their wives, and how should wives treat their husbands? Well, we do it with the mind of Christ. What did Jesus teach us? What does it look like to be a husband who has the mind of Christ? And he looks at his family and his wife, and the same for the wife. What's a wife with the mind of Christ? How does she treat her husband? It impacts everything. How do children treat their parents? Hopefully the same way, with the mind of Christ. Why does the church care about the poor among us? Because we follow Jesus and he cared about the poor. That's why we have the mind of Jesus. Why do we want to serve in the name of Jesus in our local community? Why do we do anything for anybody? Because Jesus teaches us to love and to do good to our neighbors, and they'll know that you're my disciples by how you love one another. Because you have the mind of Jesus. This all goes somewhere. We don't just say, I'm going with him and sit in a seat the rest of your life. No, you are being formed into a fully devoted follower of Jesus, and that comes with knowledge and growth and wisdom and all of that. So God wants everybody on the planet to be saved and wants everyone to become more like Jesus. Friends, I'll tell you this. The older I get and the longer that I do this, and the more that I learn, and the more that the Lord works on this guy, because this guy needs a lot of work, then the clearer this all seems to become to me. That the core mission of the church is to make disciples. And disciples grow and become more like Jesus. I like simple definitions, so I've tried to give you plenty. These definitions that I've been giving you, I hope become normative here at New Life as we go forward. And I'll just, let me just unpack a few of them, then we're going to be done. But these are some of the definitions that we have unpacked so far in this series. What is a disciple? Well, I'm going to have the definition right here to my side. A disciple is someone who is following Jesus, who is being changed by Jesus, and is committed to the mission of Jesus. That is how we define a disciple. What is disciple making? Well, disciple making is this. It is entering into relationships to intentionally help people follow Jesus, be changed by Jesus, and join the mission of Jesus. So we know what a disciple is. We know what disciple making is. Then what is a disciple maker? How do you know if you're a disciple maker? Well, a disciple maker is a disciple of Jesus who enters into relationships with people to intentionally help them follow Jesus, be changed by Jesus, and join the mission of Jesus. Are you seeing a trend here? One last one, and this one's a new one. What is a disciple-making church? Well, a disciple-making church is a church whose beliefs and habits and narrative focus on disciple-making so much to an in-depth level that it quickly becomes clear to everyone, including newcomers, that disciple-making is the mission of the church. I'm going to leave this up here for a minute. This won't be the last time that it's up here, and all of these definitions are in your app. You can go back and find them there. But friends, as I was saying, the more I do this, and I feel like God's working on me a lot, it's very clear as it's ever been in my life, what the core mission of the church is to be, what the Lord is calling us to be. It's all about disciple making and being disciple making church. I've been saying for weeks now, this all leads somewhere, and I promise you it does. We're not just talking about it. We are going to put it into action. First, I want to ask Sonny. Sonny, will you come up here and join me? Will you give Sonny a big round of applause? He comes up here. This is Sonny Johnson, and a lot of you know Sonny. Sonny and his wife, Dinah, have been around the church for a couple of years now, and we've been able to build a good friendship and relationship over these last couple of years. And if you've spent any time with Sonny, you know that this guy has like the spirit of evangelism just flowing out of him. And this guy loves to talk about Jesus. And we've been talking a lot about, I remember we've had plenty of conversations. I said, Sonny, how come you're not a pastor? And so he's laughing because he goes, you know, you're not the first person to ever ask me that. Lots of people ask me that. I'm just so thankful that God has put a calling on his heart to come and join our team to be our go pastor. Now he's been, yes, yeah, absolutely. Now he's been on our team for over a month now, but I've hesitated to bring him up here and talk just yet because if I said, Sonny's our go pastor, you might say, what's a go pastor? And then I'd have to explain all this and I need like 6 weeks to explain all this. But when we talk about gather, grow, go, and the things that we intentionally do down this discipleship journey, gather means come to church and worship and be in God's word and love the church family. Grow, get in a life group. You study God's word, you pray together, you fellowship, and you care for one another. And this word go, we needed to spend some time to define it a little bit more clearly. Go and make a disciple. God is steering our church to an action point, and God has brought Sonny to be here to help steer that action point in our church. Sonny is here to drive disciple-making in our church family. And so in the weeks ahead, I'm going to start unpacking what that looks like on a practical level, what his role will be in that. And I think by the time we get done with this series, just a couple more weeks, and we'll be done through this series, I think some of you, and I've been praying this, some of you are going to stand up and say, that's me. God has put somebody on my heart that I want to intentionally build a relationship so they can follow Jesus, be changed by Jesus, and be committed to the mission of Jesus. So we're going to start to unpack that a little bit more. And I wanted to use this day to bring Sonny up here and kind of tell you that he is here to help drive disciple making in our church, locally, globally, all around the world, and to what that looks like. So I won't tell you any more than that because this is what you call building anticipation. But I want to pray with Sonny, and I hope you'll get to know him and his wife, and I just want you to know how thankful I am that he's here and what his presence represents and what it will mean. I believe we're going to change this community, and I think heaven's going to be way fuller moving forward in the next 50 years. So let's pray together. Lord, I just thank you for Sonny. I thank you, Lord, that you brought him here. And his wife, Diana. Lord, I just envision you working through him to do a marvelous work among our church family and in the kingdom at large. So, Lord, I pray that you continue to help guide my words and explanation, guide Sonny's steps and implementation. And I pray, Lord, in all of it, heaven will be fuller. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Sonny.